Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to the SME Showcase of Atlanta show, broadcasting on Business Executive Radio EXE from the magnificent 19th floor overlooking resplendent downtown Buckhead atop the City Club of Buckhead. Heather, we would like to know about our next speaker, David Falgo, if you would.
Through the Global Ethics and Compliance Office, David Falgo is responsible for the development, implementation, and enforcement of an organization-wide effective ethics and compliance program. He also plays a leadership role in developing a culture of integrity and establishes organizational objectives for ethics and compliance. The Ethics Office ensures conformity with applicable legal standards and best practices and implements regular training on appropriate risk and compliance issues. As Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer, David oversees investigations of alleged wrongdoing and raises and reports on ethics and compliance issues to the CEO and Audit Committee as necessary. David has been with Crawford for 8 years. He has previously practiced both private and corporate law for over 30 years. David earned a law degree as well as master's and bachelor's degrees from Tulane University in New Orleans, Louisiana. He serves as a member of the Board of Directors of Friends of the First Tee of Eastlake and currently chairs its Mentoring and Enrichment Committee.
Thank you, Heather. And David Falgo will tell us about compliance from a programmatic point of view. As Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer for Crawford, a public traded company that does business all around the world, he is responsible for the company's global ethics and compliance program. He will talk to us today about elements of corporate ethics and compliance programs and how to make those programs effective. And David, what is compliance? What does that mean?
Well, thank you. Most people think of compliance in operational terms, for example, adherence to specific regulatory requirements in a particular industry. The current ethics and compliance function for organizations, however, is a good deal broader than that in scope. In the United States, organizational ethics and compliance programs are usually measured against the elements set forth in the U.S. sentencing guidelines. At Crawford & Company, our global ethics and compliance program is based on those guidelines. The sentencing guidelines are designed to prevent and detect criminal conduct and otherwise promote an organizational culture that encourages ethical conduct and a commitment to compliance with law. Those guidelines contain 7 explicit elements, as well as a general 8th element, which is a continuous program assessment. The U.S. Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission have also weighed in over the last couple of years with guidance for programs designed to prevent corruption in organizations.
Thank you, David. And what are the elements of your program as set forth in the sentencing guidelines?
The 7 elements relate to, first, policies and procedures, second, governance and oversight, third, proper delegation of authority, fourth, communications and training, fifth, detection and reporting mechanisms, sixth, incentives and disciplinary measures, and 7th, response and prevention.
Very interesting, David. Please give us examples of how some of these elements might be implemented in an effective ethics and compliance program.
Well, it's important to note that there's no one-size-fits-all requirement in the sentencing guidelines or in the DOJ SEC guidance. Programs should be designed and implemented so that the program is generally effective in preventing and detecting criminal conduct. In fact, the DOJ SEC guidance has no formulaic requirements at all. Rather, they suggest asking 3 pragmatic questions. First, is the compliance program well designed? Second, is it being applied in good faith? And third, does it work? So with respect to the program's design, for example, the governance and oversight element requires that the organization's governing authority, in the case of Crawford & Company, that would be its board of directors, must be knowledgeable about the content and the operation of the Ethics and Compliance Program and exercise reasonable oversight with respect to the program's effectiveness. Now, such oversight would include ensuring that adequate resources and appropriate authority are available to the individuals who are responsible for managing the program. Policies and procedures at Crawford & Company are arranged in a hierarchy. Our foundational document is our Code of Business Conduct and Ethics. The code is based on our company's articulated values, is translated into 10 languages, and is distributed to all employees in printed booklet form as well as in electronic form. Every employee is required annually to certify that they have read the code, understand it, and agree to comply with it. Next in the hierarchy are what we call our global policies. These policies are applicable to all of our businesses and personnel worldwide. They pertain to subjects like anti-corruption, antitrust, and data protection. Finally, we have operational policies and procedures that are customized to particular business unit requirements or to local laws and regulations where business is being conducted. Likewise, the communication and training element should be designed to accommodate the particular circumstances of an organization. A company in a highly regulated industry will likely have different training protocol than one with a relatively unregulated industry. Certainly, the geographic footprint of a company's business will dictate to some degree the design of a training program. For example, because Crawford & Company does business in about 70 countries around the globe, we use primarily an online training model translated into several languages that is supplemented with targeted live training when and where feasible.
Thank you very much for that. And you mentioned that the DOJ and SEC want to know if the Ethics and Compliance Program is being applied in good faith. What does that mean?
It means that the government is looking for something more than a paper program. Policies and procedures are, of course, a critical element of an effective program, but so is tone at the top and communication and methods of speaking up within an organization without fear of reprisal or retaliation. What this all boils down to in a single word is culture. It's critical for a corporate culture to be created in which employees and customers and investors as well believe that ethics and integrity are taken seriously. In my view, a culture of integrity is the foundation that supports the pillars of the program elements that we've been discussing.
Well, David, how can a company build a culture of integrity?
Rio, it takes leadership, commitment, and time. In addition to addressing the seven elements discussed previously, the company must be willing to demonstrate that it values and rewards ethical behavior. For example, employees must feel like they will be protected for raising issues in good faith. Also, transparency is very important. When issues of misconduct arise, the company should quickly and effectively resolve them. Whenever possible, incidents should be used both as learning opportunities for employees and as a demonstration of the company's commitment to prevent misconduct from reoccurring. Finally, the company must give employees a sense that allegations of misconduct are not only taken seriously and resolved quickly, but also that they are resolved fairly. The concept of organizational justice is extremely important in building a culture of integrity. At Crawford & Company, our Code of Business Conduct and Ethics contains a section on managers' responsibilities for cultivating such a culture. Those responsibilities include ensuring that employees are treated with fairness and respect, encouraging employees to speak up and raise concerns about workplace issues, and cultivating a culture of ethics by, for example, adhering to the code standards at all times, promoting and appropriately communicating those standards, ensuring that employees understand and comply with those standards, supporting anyone who in good faith reports a suspected violation, and never allowing retaliation against someone who in good faith reports suspected wrongdoing.
Well, avoiding violations of law and regulatory requirements is, of course, a good thing. But is there evidence, David, of other benefits of an effective ethics and compliance?
Yes, there is. Multiple studies over the last decade have shown a significant correlation between a corporate culture of integrity and improved business performance. According to a Compliance and Ethics Leadership Council study, companies with a higher culture of integrity have a 10-year total shareholder return that is 16% higher than companies with lower integrity scores. Other studies have shown a differential in returns of nearly 40% for companies that are considered the most ethical. In addition, those studies show that employees' productivity increases by 12% if their managers exhibit ethical values and behavior.
Very interesting, David. And let's spin things a little bit more internationally. What do you see as current trends or hot topics in the world of ethics and compliance?
I think the trend of anti-corruption enforcement by the U.S. Department of Justice over the last decade or so will continue. The cost of a Foreign Corrupt Practices Act violation can be enormous. The average cost of a resolution of a corporate FCPA violation in 2013 was $80 million. What's more, in addition to the FCPA, new laws in the United Kingdom, Canada, Brazil, and even China are being enforced more robustly. For any U.S. company doing business overseas, anti-corruption compliance should certainly be a focus. The hottest new topic, in my view, is the emergence of a regulatory framework that allows for so-called whistleblowers to be compensated handsomely for providing information to the government relating to corporate wrongdoing. As recently as August of this year, for example, the SEC announced a whistleblower award of more than $300,000 to a company employee who performed audit and compliance functions. In that case, the SEC affirmed that even employees who worked in the compliance function are eligible for an award if their employers fail to take appropriate and timely action on information they first reported internally. This regulatory framework makes it imperative for organizations to encourage and facilitate internal reporting of suspected wrongdoing and to build a culture in which employees believe that their concerns will be taken seriously and addressed promptly, thoroughly, and fairly.
Thank you for that, David. We'd like to take a break now and have you listen to Eastlake, a very fine charity in Atlanta. Point. And now we'll turn our attention to David Falgo. David, your summary thoughts for our listeners, please.
Thank you, Rio. As we've heard today, the topic of ethics and compliance has received a good deal of attention recently. I fully expect that trend to continue. A properly organized and designed and implemented ethics and compliance program built on an organizational culture of ethics can not only protect a company from potential civil and even criminal liability, but is also likely to improve business performance through more engaged and productive employees.
Thank you, David. Your perspective